Ekatra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we are really diving deep, aren't we? We're exploring the inner workings of the mind, looking at something called synesthesia.
Right. It's that phenomenon science used to just, well, dismiss. Thought it was maybe hallucination or something.
Exactly. And we're going to be guided by the work of Dr. Richard E. Cytowic, a real pioneer in this field.
Yeah, his work is essential. You know, people often think of synesthesia, maybe tasting shapes or seeing colors with music, as just this like rare, quirky thing.
A fun fact almost.
A fun fact, yeah. But Cytowic's research, especially in his book Synesthesia, A Window into Consciousness, he argues it's really not just that at all.
Okay, so if it's not just a curiosity, what's the big mission here? What are we trying to understand through this deep dive?
Well, the goal is to show you how Cytowic frames synesthesia. He sees it as a kind of Rosetta Stone for understanding consciousness itself.
A Rosetta Stone.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it seriously challenges that old model of the brain, you know, the idea that our senses, sight, sound, taste, all operate in separate little boxes.
Modular brain idea.
Exactly. Instead, synesthesia suggests our perception is way more interconnected, cross-wired even. And crucially, that emotion isn't separate either. It's fused right into how we perceive everything.
Okay, hold on. If that's true, if our senses are all mixed up and driven by feelings, that changes everything about how we think about, like, objective reality, doesn't it?
It really does. It forces a major reevaluation.
So why should we care about this now? What's the relevance for us today?
Well, it offers a potential neurological basis for things like creativity, memory, even empathy. It suggests that the unique way you experience the world is built on this incredibly specific, customized neural wiring. Understanding that wiring, well, that's key to understanding ourselves, isn't it?
Absolutely. So let's talk about the man himself, Dr. Richard E. Cytowic. He's got this fascinating background, right? He's an MD, a neurologist, but also has a Master of Fine Arts, an MFA.
That combination is perfect for this topic. For so long, science just pushed synesthesia aside, said it was imagination, maybe delusion.
Or just poetry.
Or just poetry, exactly. You needed someone like Cytowic, someone with the scientific neurological rigor, but also an appreciation for subjective creative experience, someone who would actually listen to synesthetes and take their experiences seriously.
And he didn't just listen. He actually brought it back into the scientific mainstream. He did the first functional brain imaging studies on synesthetes, right? Back in the 80s.
That's right. And that was huge. It provided real, objective, physiological proof. This wasn't just in people's heads. It was measurable. Something real was happening in their brains.
What made his approach so different, though? So revolutionary.
It was where he looked in the brain. You know, the logical place, the conventional wisdom would be the neocortex.
Right. The big, wrinkly thinking cap part on the outside. That seems like where sensory processing happens.
You'd think so. But Cytowic noticed how synesthetes describe their experiences. They were automatic, involuntary, and had this intense feeling of, like, certainty, deeply emotional. That suggested to him it wasn't happening in the analytical cortex. It had to be deeper, older.
So instead of the neocortex, he focused on the
limbic system, that really ancient emotional core of the brain. His hypothesis was, if synesthesia feels so automatic and emotional, its roots must be down there in the primal parts, not the newer rational layers.
Okay, so that leads us straight into the book's main argument. It's basically throwing out that neat, tidy, modular brain idea. The brain isn't a filing cabinet.
Exactly. No more vision goes here, taste goes there. Cytowic argues synesthesia is proof that the senses are incredibly fluid, integrated. Think of the brain less like separate offices and more like a city with subway lines connecting everything.
So the senses only seem separate because the brain's usually good at directing the traffic.
That's a great way to put it. And the book has this really clever dual purpose. First, okay, use the science, the brain scans, to prove synesthesia is real. Legitimize it.
Get it taken seriously.
Right. But the bigger goal, the more profound one, is using this seemingly unusual phenomenon as a kind of key. A key to unlock how consciousness, memory, and creativity work for everyone.
So it's not just about synesthetes.
Not at all. It leads to this idea that there's a unified, emotionally driven architecture underlying all human perception. Which means synesthesia isn't a glitch or a disorder.
It's maybe. an enhanced version,
yeah.
a different kind of neural organization.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
An enhanced setup that actually helps us see how the quote-unquote normal brain operates just beneath the surface. It puts us all on a spectrum.
Okay, let's get to the evidence. You mentioned Cytoic started seriously investigating after a particular encounter. The man who tasted shapes.
Ah, yeah, the story's great. This man, Michael Watson, was a cook. And one day, Cytoic is having dinner with him, and Watson complains there were not enough points on the chicken.
Not enough points? What does that even mean?
Well, Cytoic realized he wasn't speaking metaphorically. For Michael, tastes literally had geometric shapes and textures. It was a direct, involuntary sensory experience. Sharp points, smooth curves, associated with flavor.
Wow. Okay, so that experience helped Cytoic define what real synesthesia is. He came up with criteria.
Exactly. He established 5 cardinal features to sort of, you know, separate genuine synesthesia from just vivid imagination. First, it has to be involuntary and automatic. You can't just decide to taste points on your chicken.
It just happens.
It just happens. Second, the perceptions often have a physical location, like spatially located. They feel like they're out there, not just in the mind's eye.
Okay.
Third, they're consistent and generic. So if the letter T is indigo blue for someone, it's always that exact shade of indigo. And the forms are usually simple lines, colors, basic shapes, not like detailed pictures.
Got it. Consistent, simple forms. What else?
Fourth, the experience is highly memorable. It sticks with you. And fifth, maybe most importantly, it's loaded with emotion and certainty. Synesthetes just know with this deep conviction that their experience is real.
That certainty. That must have been key for studying it scientifically, right?
Absolutely. That consistency and certainty gave Cytoic something concrete to work with. He needed that scientific smoking gun to convince everyone else. That's where the xenon blood flow technique came in.
Which is like a precursor to fMRI. Right.
Yeah.
Measuring brain activity by tracking blood flow.
Exactly. Cutting edge stuff for the 1980s. It let them see which parts of the brain were using the most energy, getting the most blood flow during a synesthetic experience. And the expectation was, well, the neocortex would light up like a Christmas tree.
Because that's where complex thought is supposed to happen.
Right. But the results were, well, they were a shocker. When the synesthetes were actually experiencing their cross senses, tasting shapes, seeing sounds activity in the analytical neocortex actually went down.
It decreased.
Mm.
The thinking part got quieter.
Yeah. He called it cortical suppression. It totally flipped the script on how we thought the brain processed this stuff.
That's incredible. So if the neocortex quieted down, what lit up?
That's the kicker. Deep down, in that ancient limbic system, the emotional core, the memory areas, especially the hippocampus, those areas lit up big time.
So it proved his hunch.
It proved it. Synesthesia wasn't some high-level intellectual thing like making a conscious association. It was low-level, primal, deeply emotional. Its origin was in the brain's emotional engine room, not the analytical control tower. That really challenged the whole idea of the neocortex being the boss of consciousness.
If it's that primal, that deep, does that mean we all start out like that? Is that where his developmental theory fits in?
Precisely. Cytoric suggests that maybe, just maybe, we are all born synesthetic, neonatal synesthesia. The idea is that an infant's brain is just massively interconnected. Sensory pathways haven't specialized yet.
Like kids mixing up senses, saying things that sound synesthetic before they learn not to.
Exactly. They might talk about colors tasting good or sounds feeling rough. It suggests their wires are still crossed, in a way.
So if we're born with these crossed wires, what happens to most of us? Why don't we all taste shapes?
Well, normal development involves this huge process called synaptic pruning. The brain basically cleans house. It strengthens the dedicated pathways for each sense, vision, hearing, etc., and it prunes away many of those initial cross connections.
Ah, so synesthetes are people whose brains didn't do quite as much pruning in certain areas. Hmm. They genetically keep some of those original connections.
That's the core idea. It's elegant, isn't it? Which leads to that great quote.
Synesthesia is not a joining of the senses, but a failure of them to separate. It totally reframes it. Normalcy is the result of this big neural cleanup job.
And that failure to separate might actually be a benefit, especially for creativity. Cytoic draws a strong link between synesthesia and things like metaphor.
Like when we say a sound is sharp or a color is loud, we all understand that, even non-synesthetes.
We do. He argues those are like linguistic fossils. leftovers from a time, developmentally or evolutionarily, when our senses were much more interconnected, were inherently wired to make those cross-modal links.
Is there other evidence for that beyond language?
Yeah, the famous Buba-Kiki effect is a perfect example. You show people two shapes, one spiky and angular, one soft and rounded. Then you ask them which one is Kiki and which is Buba.
And overwhelmingly, people say Kiki is the spiky one and Buba is the round one.
Exactly. It shows this innate, non-arbitrary mapping between sound and shape that exists in pretty much everyone. It proves the brain's default setting leans towards interconnectedness. Synesthetes just experience it much more intensely. The volume is turned way up for them.
Okay, these ideas really do shift how you think about the brain. Let's pull out some of the main themes here. Theme one seems huge. The primacy of emotion in cognition.
Absolutely central. That finding about the limbic system lighting up means every sight, sound, taste, it gets tagged with emotional meaning first. Our initial take on reality isn't rational, it's emotional.
Which makes you wonder, right? We try so hard to separate logic and feeling, but maybe the brain doesn't even work that way at its core.
It seems like they're fundamentally fused. Then theme two is about reframing difference. Synesthesia as a window, not a disorder.
Right, it's not a bug, it's a feature.
Kind of. Cytoic shows this different wiring often comes with cognitive advantages, better memory, better pattern recognition. But its real value is what it teaches us about the so-called normal brain. It pushes us to see neurological diversity not as a deficit, but maybe as an advantage, or at least just different.
And theme three, which feels really important today, the scientific validity of subjective experience.
Yeah, for ages, science just ignored what synesthetes were saying because it was subjective. How can we measure that feeling? Cytoic's work gave objective neurological proof for those deeply personal subjective experiences.
That's powerful. I mean, science can study these things. But also, just for us, it encourages more empathy, doesn't it? Recognizing that someone else's inner world might be fundamentally different from ours and that it's just as real.
Definitely. It validates that inner reality.
Cytoic has such a knack for summing these big ideas up. We mentioned one quote already about the senses failing to separate.
Synesthesia is not a joining of the senses, but a failure of them to separate. Really captures that developmental idea.
And then there's one that pushes back against seeing it as a problem.
The brain that experiences synesthesia is not broken, it may be enhanced. That's a direct challenge to pathologizing neurological difference. Look for the strengths.
Love that. And finally, the one that invites everyone into the conversation.
We are all more synesthetic than we realize.
Yeah, that really lands. It suggests these cross-sensory links are part of the basic human setup, just usually operating quietly in the background.
It's a continuum. We're all on it somewhere.
Okay, so let's make this practical. How can we apply these insights in education, for instance?
Well, Cytoic's work gives strong backing to multisensory learning. If the brain is naturally interconnected, why not teach that way?
So using visuals, sounds, touch, movement all together.
Exactly. Instead of just saying A is for apple, show a bright red A, maybe sing a little tune about it, have kids trace the letter shape with their finger, you're engaging multiple pathways, leveraging the brain's natural wiring. It should help things stick better for everyone, not just kids with learning differences.
Makes sense. And what about in creative fields? Design, marketing.
Oh, huge implications.
Yeah.
Understanding these cross-modal mappings, how sound connects to shape, color connects to emotion, that's gold for designers. Think about user experience, UX design, or branding.
How so?
Well, like the Buba-Kiki thing. Yeah. If your app has a really sharp, angular logo, Kiki-like, but the notification sounds are all low, soft, rounded tones, Buba-like.
Mm-hmm.
There's a subconscious clash. It feels slightly off.
Ah, so good design tries to align all those sensory cues.
Precisely. Align the visuals, sounds, maybe even textures and packaging to evoke one cohesive feeling, whether that's excitement, calm, trust, whatever the brand goal is.
Mm.
It makes the experience feel more integrated, more right.
And just on a personal level, day to day.
I think it comes back to empathy. Really internalizing this idea that subjective reality is unique for each person. You know, we assume everyone sees red the same way or feels joy with the same internal flavor.
But maybe they don't.
Maybe they don't. Realizing my green might feel different to you or have a different emotional echo. It can help us be less judgmental, maybe communicate better, be more understanding when someone's reaction doesn't match what we'd expect.
That's a really valuable takeaway. For me, the biggest thing learning about this was that fundamental shift. The idea that the limbic system, the emotional core, is really running the show when it comes to perception.
Yeah, the emotion comes first.
Right. It reframes feelings not as like this secondary thing that clouds our judgment, but as the actual foundation of how we even build our reality. That's pretty mind-blowing.
It really is. What stood out most for me, I think, was the sheer elegance of that cortical suppression finding. The idea that for this deep primal cross-sensory stuff to happen, the analytical brain actually has to step back, quiet down.
Get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
It sort of suggests that sometimes true insight or novel perception doesn't come from more thinking, but maybe from less. From just allowing the feeling, the raw perception, to come through without the usual analysis layered on top.
That's a deep thought to end on. A truly profound idea about how our inner and outer worlds connect. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acantra Foundation.